the book of Psalms, chapter 128. The book of Psalms. And we're going to read the whole chapter. It's just six verses. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms 128. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for letting us be here today and for all the many blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the girls using their talents for thee. And Lord, the choir. And we just are thankful for everything that you've done for us. The good Christmas program last week. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you for the pretty days we've had, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we do want to hold up Brother Norman today. I pray, Lord, that you'd help him. I pray that, God, you would touch and heal as only you can. We'll thank you. I pray that you would just have your way in our hearts and lives today. And I pray for liberty. I pray for help to preach thy word today. Lord, I realize that in and of myself, I'm nothing. And Lord, I need your anointing and I need your help. And I confess that freely today. Lord, I'm not able to do anything in and of my own self. So I pray for liberty and I pray for that unction which only comes from thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read just a couple more verses just to get us started this morning. The Bible says in verse number 2, it says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." And verse number 4, the Bible said, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Now, I told you a few weeks ago that I'd already preached my Christmas message, and I had. I was serious about it. So this is not a Christmas message or a message before Christmas or anything like that, but as always, I would say if the Lord blesses it and you get anything out of it, well, just thank the Lord. That's His gift to us today. But I've been studying about this subject, and I want to point out first of all this morning that when you read your Bible, the word happy and the word blessed is the same word. The same word, what I mean in the Hebrew language, and sometimes they translated it as blessed, and sometimes they translated it as happy. But when you read the word blessed or you read the word happy in the Bible, it means to be really happy. It means to be, oh, how happy, with an exclamation point on the end of it. And the words are interchangeable in the Bible, not change in the Bible or anything like that, but you can use the word happy where the word blessed is. And it makes sense. And the reason that is that way, you say, why would they translate it one way as happy and one way as blessed? Well, in your King James Bible, there's a built-in dictionary. And if you were just reading this and you wondered, what does it mean to be blessed? Well, in the context of it, if you read and meditated upon the Word of God, and that is how we are to take the Word of God, it's not just a newspaper. We're not to read it like a newspaper, but it's God's Word. And if you will read God's Word and meditate upon God's Word and think about God's Word, you'll understand what it means. And to be blessed is to be happy, and to be happy is to be blessed. And so it gives you the definition in the context. And so we could go through and give several examples, but just
by way of example, if you said in verse number one, happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that would make sense. If you looked at verse three and said, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, or verse number two, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, blessed shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. See, that would make sense. To be blessed is to be happy. And God's people ought to be happy people. Oh, how happy that we ought to be. We went out to eat last Sunday, and in the restaurant there, we were waiting to be seated, and we went to Cracker Barrel, and you know you have to go through the store to get in there to eat. And so we're standing around. They've got all kinds of signs and knickknacks and things like that, and there was a sign there. And Noah and I were standing there looking at it, and the sign said, happiness is a choice. And I picked up that sign and showed it to Noah, and I said, well, you think about that. Happiness is a choice. And then I got it like a bat, like I was going to, happiness is a choice. I got to thinking about that. You know, is that when you read something like that, and you say, well, that's pretty good. And but there's a lot of things that are pretty good, but that doesn't mean that they're true. I got to thinking about that. Is that true? Is it true that happiness is a choice? It sounds good, but what does the Bible say about that? And I got to looking in the Bible about being happy, being blessed this week. And I want to try to preach on the subject this morning. I'm not going to call it happiness is a choice, but I want to preach on this subject, principles of happiness. I cannot tell anybody or make anybody be happy, but in the Bible you can find principles. And if you'll live by these principles, if you'll put these things, make sure these things are right in your life, you will get the desired outcome. When you're talking about a principle, it means this in a general sense, the cause of something. What causes happiness? Principles of happiness, the cause of something. The source of something. Where does it come from? The origin of anything. That's what the definition for the word principle is. Now, happiness is not an automatic thing. I mean, it just doesn't happen automatically. Some people are happy and that's just the way it is. And some people are sad. That's just the way it is. That's not true. Happiness is not an automatic thing. It is not a genetic thing. Well, mom and dad were happy and I'm happy, and because there's plenty of parents that are happy and the children are unhappy. There's children that are happy and the parents are unhappy. So it's not something that you inherited in your family. It's not an economic thing. A lot of people think that it is. If happiness was economic, and what I mean by that, money. If money bought happiness, how much would it take for you to be happy? You say, oh, some people say, oh, if I had to, there's this car or whatever, and I just love it, and if I had that, I think that'd make me happy. But if you had that, you'd have to have a garage to put it in. Because you wouldn't be happy with your happiness sitting outside in the salt and in the ice and in the snow and all that. You see, how much would it take to be happy? And if you had a garage to put it in, you'd have to have a garage door opener, because nobody gets out and opens their garage anymore, I don't think. You see, you just have to have something else. And you know, you just go on and on and on with whatever it is. You cannot buy happiness. If happiness was economic, then all rich people would be happy and all poor people would be sad. But that's not the way it is either. Happiness is not something that you buy. There are plenty of people, and we could give examples this morning. There are plenty of people that they have everything in life that we would think that it would take to be happy, yet they are not happy. What's wrong with them? And then there are plenty of other examples we could give this morning. There are people, they have all kinds of problems. They have all kinds of wrong things in their life. You know, it's not Norman Rockwell. Remember them paintings for years ago, and you know, everything is just picture perfect. Their life is not like that. They have all kinds of tribulations in their life, things to overcome, but yet, in spite of all that, they're happy. So when we think about happiness this morning, it's not just something you take. It's not something you buy. It's not something that you inherited. But in the Bible, we do find many places that we could point out principles of happiness. And we're going to look in Psalms 128, and I'm going to give you this morning three principles of happiness. Number one has to do with what I'm going to call our God life. Verse number one, the Bible says, "Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." Blessed is everyone. Happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Now, if just being saved made you happy, there'd be no reason to preach this message in a church full of people that profess to know the Lord. I mean, everybody would already be happy, and it would just be an accepted thing. But it is not a true statement to say that all Christians are happy. Because I pastor, and I have for a long time now, and I'm telling you, not everybody that claims to know the Lord is happy. In fact, a lot of times among God's people, there is much unhappiness. Not all lost people are unhappy. I know some lost people that seem to be pretty happy people. And so it's not just a matter of being saved or not knowing the Lord. That's not it. I know people, and I'm sure they're saved. I'm sure they know the Lord. But the way they live their lives, they act like if they went to heaven, they wouldn't be satisfied. It just wouldn't suit them. They would have something to say about it. You know, they just tend not to be happy people. What's wrong with that? But then there's people that are lost. If they died, they'd go to hell. That's awful. But they seem to be pretty happy in their lives. They're easy to get along with. They don't say anything bad about anybody. And it's not just a matter of being saved or being lost. That's what I'm saying this morning. And we don't have time. I mean, we could spend a lot of time on that, but we just want to point out in verse number one, being happy begins with our God life. And in verse number one, what we find there is two things. We find that a person needs to have a right relationship with the Lord. And a person has to have a right relationship with His Word. That's two things in verse number one. The relationship with the Lord, first of all, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. That's our relationship with God. That walketh in His ways. That's a right relationship with the Word of God. And so it's not just the right relationship with the Lord, but that walk in His ways. That's the Word of God. And so we could say in verse number one, there's two things that need to happen in order for us to be happy. To fear the Lord. Now that's not, some people, I've had people say, well, I would come to church, but the church would fall down. And all that stuff. I'd go to church, but lightning would strike the church. No, it wouldn't. There's some people, and if that's how they really feel, they don't fear the Lord. If you really felt like, I'd go to church, but God would strike lightning, then you would have enough confidence that God's a good shot and He could get you in the mall too. You know, that's not really fearing the Lord. And people talk all that talk, but that is not a biblical fear of the Lord. To fear the Lord is a matter of attitude towards the Lord and action toward His Word. If we really feared the Lord, then what He said would take priority in our lives. That's what God said. To fear the Lord is an attitude that we come before God and He is God. He is Jehovah. He's the Creator. He's the King. He's my Lord. He's the expert. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. He's the Lord. I'll tell you, if somebody comes along talking about the man upstairs and all that kind of stuff, they don't fear the Lord. He's the Lord. And we honor Him because of that. He's the Creator. We're the created. We're nothing. We're nothing. We couldn't draw our next breath if God didn't allow it. Fear the Lord is to acknowledge these things, that He's the master in our life, and to walk in His ways is to acknowledge that His Word is perfect. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a preacher and I'm supposed to say these things, but I'm telling you this morning, the Word of God really, really, really has the answer. You say, what am I going through in my life? I don't know, but God does know, and He's given us His Word. The answer to all of life's problems, all of our difficulties, everything you need to know to be happy or to get through what you're going through, the answer is in the Word of God. But you are not going to be happy as a child of God if you are a Christian in name only. And none of this really means anything to you. To fear the Lord and to walk into His ways is to acknowledge God in all areas of our lives and to look to His Word for guidance in our lives. His Word is perfect. His Word is right, no matter what the question might be. God's Word is right. You're not going to be happy if your relationship with the Bible is simply when you carry it to church and then you go back home and you put it on the dresser or on the bookshelf or on the coffee table and that's it. You're not going to get anything out of that. You're not going to have a close relationship, a walk with God, if the only Word of God you get is when you come to church on Sunday morning for 45 minutes. You've got to get in the Word of God if you want to walk in His ways. Amen. You're not going to be happy if the only Bible you get is scrolling through Facebook. Oh, there's a lovely verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He's a dread thy ways. Lack. Oh, there's a panda bear falling out of a tree. Isn't that nice? Oh, somebody went to Bojangles for breakfast. God bless them. I like that a lot. You're going to walk with God and you're going to go out here and Satan is walking about as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may destroy, and you're going to get through that on a little verse and a panda bear and a Bojangles biscuit. I'm sorry, you're in trouble. And it's no wonder our people are so unhappy. They're spiritually, nutritionally deprived from God's Word, and they don't know a Genesis from an Exodus. You got to get in the Word. The Word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It is how we clothe ourselves to go out into this world. But you have got to read, you have got to take in what God's Word is saying to you if you ever expect to be happy. As you read God's Word, you'll learn what it means to fear the Lord and to walk in His ways. And you will find, if you will have a close relationship with the Word of God and you will get in the Bible and you will let God speak to your heart and you will read it. And it's not just about, well, I read three chapters today. I read through the Bible every year. About three chapters a day. On average, you'll read through the Bible in a year. But if you're reading three chapters and you're not getting anything out of it, it's not going to do you any good. You'd be far better to read two or three verses and really digest and find out what God is saying to you than you would to read three chapters and not get anything out of it. If it took you 5 years to read through the Bible or a whole year to delve into the book of Romans or to read a proverb every day or whatever it might be that God lays on your heart, you've got to get something out of that. If you'll dedicate yourself to doing that, you'll find that God speaks to us from His Word. I debated on preaching out of Psalms 128 or Psalms 1. They both talk about being blessed. Psalms 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so." See, there's a choice. I'm going to walk in His ways. I'm going to walk in His Word. The ungodly are not so. It's a choice. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. Blessed, happy. Oh, how happy! He made the right choices. To fear the Lord and to walk in His Word, it's very, very simple. When you're talking about fearing the Lord, when you're talking about that walketh in His ways, that means as a young Christian even, you say, "I don't know much about the Bible. I don't understand all of it. Read a little bit." When you understand something and God shows you something, do it. A child can understand that. If you'll read God's Word and if you'll make it a priority in your life, God will show you things. And if you do it, God will show you something else. And God will show you something else. That's how you grow. I was talking with somebody the other day about Kim and I and being young and married and learning and growing in the Word of God. And I said, you know, we all grow. I hope you grow. Mature in the Lord. You know, they sayings, if you've been saved a long time, there's sayings that are out there that now they just don't appeal to you. I told somebody, I said, yeah, I said, we were saved and trying to go to church and read our Bibles. And I said, we went from rock and roll to country music to bluegrass music to gospel music. You know, after a while, God changes your taste about things and you look at things differently. And we felt that we could see the Lord leading us. You know, just because a country music singer has one gospel song on their album, that don't make it all right. They all, seems like they'll put one good gospel song on there, but the rest of it's garbage. I'm just talking about when God speaks to your heart, you got to obey Him. And there's no use going any further in that or trying to get real deep into verse number one if we just can't acknowledge and see that God's God and He wants us to follow His Word. If I want to be happy in this life, my God life is going to have to be correct. And of course, that begins with a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Being saved by the grace of God. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about being born again. When you're saved, you walk in the will of God by obeying the Word of God. And you grow. And we are to grow. Our God life has to be right. I look on down in this in verses 2 and 3. And I would say that our home life has to be right. The Bible said in verse 2, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table." And we see several things in these verses The first thing is mentioned is our work, our labor. You know, it's a blessing to be able to do something. We live in a society that doesn't want to do anything, but honestly, this morning, I'm thankful that I can do something. It's a blessing. Work shouldn't be something that puts us in an early grave. It ought to be something that we say, you know, I enjoy what I do. But you don't hear that very often, but look what he said. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. That's all about our work. We work, we earn, we live by that. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Now that's a result of verse number one. Got to keep things in order. He's talking about his labor. He's talking about his work. He's talking about eating. Verse number three, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. He's talking about labor first of all. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 18, behold, that which I've seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun, all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Labor's a good thing. Work is a good thing. To earn the fruit of your labor is a good thing. And to be able to work and labor with our hands, or to make an income by the talents that God has given us, it's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. He talks about in verse number three, our family. I realize not everybody has wife and children, but whatever constitutes our family, whether it's one or two, or whether it's our friends, our church family, I'll say this morning, the best things are just simple things. The best things in life are free things. He's talking here about being happy in your labor and in your eating. We all like to eat. We say amen right there. There's a lot of joy around the table. There's a lot of joy around the fellowship of that. He talks about thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. He's talking about your wife there. We studied about that this morning in Proverbs chapter 5. Boy, if I want to make Kim nervous, I say, I'm going to preach out of Proverbs chapter 5. Did you read some of that? That was entertainment before television and all this other stuff come along. In the family and the man and the wife, and they loved one another and they had a love life together and they spent... Read it in the Bible. I'm not making it up. They had their home and they had their children, the Bible said, as olive plants. And olive plants are very interesting. They spring up around the olive tree. And so the picture there is the family and the children springing up around them and becoming like their parents. Do you want your children to be like you? See, we are spoiled in this generation. We are spoiled. When something is spoiled, it's robbed, plundered, rendered useless. We have been spoiled of the simple things of life. And simple things do not satisfy us any longer, so we think we have to have more and bigger and better and doing what everybody else is doing. And if we're not, we can't be happy. We can't be happy with our family, with our circle of church and close friends. And you know, it's got to be all this other stuff. But what it's done is robbed us that we can't enjoy little simple things anymore. Can't enjoy just being around the ones that love us the most. Look in Psalms 127, what he's talking about, children. I'll just throw this in. Verse 3, he said, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. He's talking about children. is a reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. See, in our Western society, that they say that in Holland, I believe it is, that within 20 years there will be more Muslims than Dutch living in that country. The Muslims will be in the majority. The reason the Muslims will be in the majority in 20 years is because Muslims have a lot of children. In our Western society, oh, we got one. Boy, we don't want no more. Well, we got to have two. That's about it. Muslims have 4 and 5 and 6 children. In 20 years, there'll be more of them than there are the people that originally inhabited that country. But the Bible says that children are an heritage of the Lord, and it's a reward, and happy is the man that is full of them, has his quiver full. So what we do when we limit what God wants to do, and I'm not saying that, you know, all of a sudden I have 10 or 12 children, but I think we got to give God some room to bless us as He sees fit. Instead of coming along and say, well, we got two, we got one, cut it off. So we can get them grown and get them out of the house so we can go do what we want to do. That's about the attitude. And the ones a lot of people do have, they treat them like they're a plague. The Bible says they're a blessing. Why aren't people happy? They're not enjoying the simple things that God has given. Happiness in life, listen to me this morning, happiness comes from simple things. You don't have to be a millionaire to be happy. That ought to bless you this morning. Some of you grew up and you'd look back and say, boy, that's the good old days. What was good about it? Life was simple. You didn't have to be running it 24/7 and doing everything under the sun. You could be happy throwing a ball in the yard. I have gotten untold hours of happiness in my life growing up by throwing a ball on the roof and catching it, me and my brother. We broke every window in the house except the picture window. We had a ball growing up. And it's not that we didn't hit the picture window with balls. But it just never broke. We broke all the rest of them. All of them. That's got to be some kind of record or something. I mean, it's just simple things. But we have so much that what we have, it doesn't mean very much to us. It's surplus stuff. Simple things. I took Chloe out the other day and spent the whole afternoon the box of 22 shells and just teaching her how to shoot that gun. We had a ball. It didn't cost us anything to do that. We had a ball. Did y'all hear Abigail's getting married? She has a ring on this morning. I told her, I said, I'm dropping you from the script. I'm just going to use Chloe and Noah now as illustrations, getting ready to put her out. Simple things. You don't have to have everything under the sun to be happy. The best things are just little simple things. I got my family, I got my friends, I've got my church family, these things, but the world, I'm telling you, look what the Bible says, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. I am so rich today, but the IRS can't get anything out of the kind of riches I'm talking about. I'm rich in the things of the Lord. And the Lord adds no sorrow to that. But there's a lot of people, they've got so much and they are so unhappy. Simple things. Simple things. Our home life. Our close circle, our God life, our home life. We go on this morning in verses 5 and 6. There is our social life. Or we might say about verses 5 and 6, there's the extended. There's all the other stuff. Look what the Bible said. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. That's the rest. That's all the rest. Look, God said, I will bless you out of Zion. Out of Zion. Think about the world out here. And he's talking about, he talks about God. Then he talks about our family and our home and our labor and our work and eating around our table. And then he goes outside the home. And he says, I'll bless you outside the home and it'll be well with thee. You'll see your children's children, that's your grandchildren. All these other things will come along later. But our problem is in our lives, in America, Western society, however you want to break it down. See, we're trying to get happiness, but we're going around it upside down. We're doing it backwards. We're trying to get our happiness out of the world first. We want to start in verses 5 and 6 and get all of the world and get all the things first and get all the blessings first, and then we'll have some time for family, and then we'll have some time for God. It's not that people don't think about their family. It's not that people don't think about God. But they've got God way down here. God ought to be way up here at the top. And they've got family. Little children are coming up to their mamas and they have to communicate to their mama through a phone. Mama. What? And that's about all you hear. If somebody's talking on the phone, you might as well go on about your business. They're not listening to what you got to say anyway. Everywhere we go, people's got their noses stuck in them things. And children will grow up and the memories that they will have, that's going to be pitiful. All I remember is my mom and her face stuck in that phone. All I remember is trying to talk to Dad and him stuck with his face in a phone. Not so much talking, but just... And that's how our children, if we're not careful, will remember us. And nobody will be in the nursing home and think, boy, I wished I'd have spent more time scrolling through Facebook, learning about a lot of people that don't give a flip about you. And you got along fine not knowing what they had for breakfast. Once upon a time, life was good. But everybody, just about, got their nose stuck in that. While life is passing them by, and their children are growing up, and people have real problems and real needs, and your husband needs your attention, and your wife needs your attention, and the people in your family, they ought to take priority. Set that stuff down. Set aside a time. I'm going to spend 15 minutes in the morning or in the evening, and that's it. People say, oh, I can't sleep at night. Because you got a bright light stuck up in your face for 4 hours before bedtime. And it's been scientifically proven that keeps you awake at night. God put the sun in the sky and He made it go down in the evening so it would get dark. God made you so you would get sleepy and go to sleep without taking a bunch of pills and stuff. Say, oh, I can't. Try cutting that junk off. Try reading some of the genealogies in the Bible. That'll put you to sleep. Every time I read, I don't understand all them names, but it's good. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just trying to help us this morning. We got everything upside down, and here's a good principle to live by. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, we're seeking all these things first. Now, I don't think it'll offend anybody. I'm not... You know, I like to deer hunt a little bit. And two or three times now, them deer, they know when I've got to be somewhere. And here they come. And I've had them in my sights. And I got to be at church. Last deacon's meeting we had, I was within 15 minutes. I told Abigail, I said, I gotta go. I don't have time to fool with that right now, but I could have. Would it have been all right if I'd have said to the Lord's business, fellas, I'll be there in 45 minutes. I just killed a deer. I told Abigail, I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I gotta go. It'll be all right. I've found the way to do that anyway. Find a young person that likes to go hunting. Get them to get you one and give it to you. Amen. Brother Jonah is my buddy. I quit hunting. I just text him. I say, you see anything? Let me see if I want. I'm sort of kidding. But you know, if you put God first, He'll take care of all the rest of this stuff. But if you put you first and you put the world first and then you had a little time for your family and then way down on the end you got God down there, well, it ain't no wonder you're not happy. I'll tell you this morning, you find happiness, you find blessedness all through the Bible. It's a good thing. It's all right with the Lord for us to be happy. Some people act like that it's God's will to go around with a sour face. Sad all the time. That does not make you spiritual. That is not spiritual at all. When I think about a spirit-filled person, I'm going to think about somebody that's got some joy of the Lord about them. If you know the Lord and you're saved and you're going to heaven, you got something to be happy about. If you claim to pray and God would hear your prayers, you got something to be happy about. We got a lot to be happy about. Happiness is a choice. I believe it is. The Bible said in verse number 4, and I'm closing, He said, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Behold. You want to see what a happy person looks like? Right here in chapter 128. He's a man that fears the Lord, a woman that fears the Lord. If I could give you a gift of happiness this morning for Christmas, I would give that to you, but I cannot do that. But you could choose to be. You could make up your mind today, you know, God's been good to me, God's blessed me. Think I'll just be happy as opposed to being sad. I think I'll be happy as opposed to being upset. I do believe it's possible to be happy. I've seen too many people in too many bad situations that they're just happy anyway. And they could brag on the Lord from the bottom of a pit and say, God is good anyway. And I've seen too many people that had everything under the sun and they couldn't be happy with nothing. So I think that it just must be that some people make up their minds, I'm going to be happy and I'm going to praise God anyhow. Even though it's a mess, God's good. And I'm going to be with Him one of these days. I think you just choose whether or not you're going to be happy or not. It's not required to live. But it sure makes living a whole lot better along the way. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.